Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Joseph Mindell, is entitled 36.
Suppose an old man came to you, a very old man with a wise look. Suppose without so much as a knock at the door, he came to you and said,
Listen, I'll tell you a story.
Now, such a man, even though you smiled and said, not now, another day, well, such a man wouldn't stop for a trivial reason.
It happened long ago. Even I was young then, in a little town that no longer exists.
But look.
I know. What has this to do with us, you say? It's a world that no longer exists. Then listen to me. It's true we don't walk anymore. We ride. And we don't run to the next village nowadays. We send a telegram instead. Still, believe me, the world and its people are not so different today. Besides, the story is about a Lamed Vovnik.
Excuse me. Lamed Vov means 36. And there's a legend that in every generation there are 36 secret tzaddikim, hidden saints. Simple men with no marks of distinction whom you'd never notice. But on their piety and their virtue rest the very foundations of the world. And
if you finished,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how it was in this little town. You don't have to believe that it happened. But it's true. So why shouldn't you?
It would be an exaggeration to say that there were rich and poor in this little town. It was rather that some were poorer than others. All worked hard for their bread, and none worked harder than Shimon the porter and his wife Rivka.
I'll help you clear the supper dishes, Rivka.
Oh, you're tired, Shimon. Just sit and talk to me.
Rivka, how long is it since you've had a new dress?
If you're going to talk like that, then maybe you'd better help me with the dishes.
Or new shoes?
Now, what's wrong with these? The soles have practically no holes.
They're old and torn. Don't be so noble. Oh,
there's no use in complaining.
Who's complaining? I was just thinking. Rivka, maybe I don't follow every one of the 613 commandments, but I work hard. I cheat no one. I give a penny now and then to the poor.
Shimon, if you prove that you're a saint, will that bring me a pair of new shoes?
Tell me, am I or am I not entitled to a little easier life, a little more money?
Oh, I won't argue. You're entitled.
Suppose I were to come home one day and say, Rivka, here are 10 rubles. No, 20 rubles. Buy what you please. Wouldn't you like that?
How would you get the 20 rubles?
Well, what difference does it make? There are 100 possibilities if God only wants to.
Shimon, God is very busy.
Still? Well, I suppose so. That was a very good soup you cooked.
Thank you, Shimon. I'm glad it pleased you.
Only, Rivka, I'm still hungry.
How easy it is for a poor man to depend on God. What else has he to depend on? Well, Shimon went to bed hungry, And in the morning, he came as usual to the market to see if anyone needed a porter. But this morning, there was a great hubbub.
What's wrong?
It's gone. Every penny of it.
Reb Nachman, we are not thieves in this town.
Who said it was stolen, Benjamin? I must have lost it.
Then you'll find it again.
I've looked, Benjamin, everywhere. It's gone, I tell you.
What's gone, Reb Nachman?
What? Your money. The money you gave me to buy goods for you in Kiev.
And mine, Reb Nachman? What about my money?
What's special about your money, Isaac, that it shouldn't be lost with the rest? Why are you looking at me?
Reb Nachman, it was you who lost the money.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Now, you're being too hasty, Isaac. Let us talk it over a little bit.
Did you give him money too, Benjamin, to buy you goods?
No, but...
Then what is there to talk over with you?
Well, not with me, Isaac. With Rabbi Nathan.
Calm yourself, Reb Nachman.
Rabbi, you know me. Every month I come to this town from Kiev to take orders for goods and collect the money. Everybody knows me. Ask anyone if I'm an honest man.
Of course you're an honest man, Reb Nachman.
No, 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 there, you see, Rabbi. You heard what Benjamin said.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Now, I don't know why Benjamin brought us to you. I didn't say that Reb Nachman was dishonest. But the money is gone. How will I get leather to make shoes this month?
What about my meters?
If you'll give me more money, I'll send you what you ordered.
We paid you once.
You know, your money is gone.
Reb Nachman, if you had traveled all the way back to Kiev before it happened, whose money would be lost then? You see, Rabbi, there's really nothing to discuss. Reb Nachman can't deny his responsibility.
Isaac is right, Rabbi. It's my responsibility, my loss.
Then you will buy them the goods they order?
Oh, if I only could. But where will I get so much money?
Isaac, let me ask you a question.
Of course, Rabbi.
Whose concern is it?
I don't understand you.
A man suffers a misfortune. Whose concern is it?
Rabbi, I gave him 2.5 rubles.
If it were 2,500, I would still ask the same question.
I don't have any more money. What do you want me to do?
I'm not talking about what you're to do, but about what you feel.
Well, I'm sorry, Rabbi. I know Reb Nachman is not a rich man. I lost 2.5 rubles. He lost more.
I'm glad you said it, Isaac. Now we will talk about what can be done.
Tell us, Rabbi. What?
Isaac, I'm afraid I don't know.
Rivka, I have a plan.
I'm listening, Shimon.
This is Wednesday. On Friday night for the Sabbath, you'll make your wonderful soup.
I make it every Friday night.
Ah, but this week, we'll also have a piece of meat.
We will? With what will I buy it?
Tomorrow I carry a package to Leitnik. It's a long trip. Worth at least 0.5 ruble.
0.5 ruble? For 0.5 ruble, I can buy potatoes for a month.
Oh, Rivka, this once. In celebration.
All right, Shimon. Only tell me what we're celebrating.
Well, just think, Rivka. If I dealt in shoes like Isaac or in cotton goods...
Oh, then maybe we might have meat every week.
But then I, too, might have lost 2.5 rubles. Or maybe, God forbid, even more. We'll celebrate how lucky we are.
You're joking, aren't you, Shimon?
Only a little, Rivka. It's better than complaining. Still, imagine what a person could do with so much money.
What money?
The money that Reb Nachman lost, of course. How much do you think it was, Rivka?
Oh, at least 1 million.
No, seriously. Maybe 30 rubles? Maybe 40. With that, a man could open a little shop and sit at his ease all day.
No, Shimon. Now you're too serious.
Instead of carrying burdens on his back like a horse and falling away almost every night from weariness. Why, with a little money, a man could...
Stop it, Shimon.
A man can dream, Rivka.
It's not even your money you're dreaming about. Hmm. I'm sorry, Shimon. You work hard. You're tired.
I'll tell you what it is. I'm tired of being so poor. All right. I've finished dreaming, Rivka. Now I'll go to sleep.
The next day was Thursday, and Shimon set out with the sun, for to Leipnik and back was a full day's walk. What he was thinking, I cannot tell you, or whether he even noticed as he went past the quiet houses that the marketplace was still empty.
Oh, my shoulders. The box is heavier than I thought.
Certainly he didn't notice the little pile of straw at the end of the street.
To carry such a load all the way to Leipnik, it's worth more than half a ruble.
So, unseeing, he walked into the straw, and his foot struck an obstacle.
What's this? See. Careful. Careful. Don't drop the box. What is it? A handkerchief. But it makes a sound like... But what can it be? Oh, my shoulders. This cursed box. Whatever it is, I'll look at it on the way back from Leipnik. What is so important that it can't wait?
What is so important that it can't wait, Benjamin?
That I will explain to Reb Nachman. Be so good as to tell him that I'm here.
But he's still sleeping.
Then you will have to wake him up.
Do you think I slept a wink all night?
I came about the money, Reb Nachman.
God be praised.
You found it, Benjamin.
I didn't say that, Reb Nachman.
Oh, then what? Oh, I see. You're thinking about a reward. Well, of course, Benjamin.
Oh, wait. Not so fast. How do I know that it is yours?
How do you know? Show it to me and I'll tell you.
Reb Nachman, I don't mean to offend you, but if I let you see it first, then how can I be sure it really belongs to you?
Am I a stranger, Benjamin, that you don't trust me?
I'm sorry, but when it comes to large sums of money, it is better to be strictly businesslike.
All right, have it your way. Only quickly, what do you want me to do?
Well, describe it, of course.
It's money. How do you describe money?
How much, for example?
That I can tell you exactly. 28.5 rubles to the penny.
Tidy sum. How much in paper and how much in coins?
Benjamin, only let me see it and I'll tell you in a second if it's mine.
Believe me, Reb Nachman, it's better this way.
You're a stubborn man.
How much in paper bills?
Half and half, and it was wrapped in a white handkerchief. A big white handkerchief.
How many knots was it tied?
Benjamin, how can I tell you such a thing? 2 knots, maybe 3.
I will come back later, Reb Nachman.
What do you mean you'll come back later?
To tell you if it's your money, of course.
You're crazy. I'll go with you now.
No. It's not ready. It takes time. I want to examine it carefully.
Benjamin, you can't do this.
Reb Nachman, if it's your money, surely you can wait a little while. And if it's not, then why should you care?
Rivka! Rivka, something to show you.
Did you hear the news, Shimon?
Wait till I tell you
what Benjamin found Reb Nachman's money.
No!
Yes! Reb Nachman described it to the last penny and the last knot in the handkerchief. And there it was in Benjamin's hand. Shimon, is something wrong?
Rivka... No one else has lost money here in the town?
No one. You know that. Something is wrong.
Nothing is wrong. Nothing at all. Now, let me see.
Why are you squinting like that?
I'm trying to decide. Pink? No. Blue. That's it. A pale blue dress. With a little lace, the collar.
Oh, you're sick. You must have a fever.
Oh, I must I? Well, then, two dresses.
One blue and one pink.
Oh, not again, Jim.
Oh, this is different. Look, I counted it on the way back from Leipzig. 28.5 rubles.
Reb Nachman lost 28.5 rubles.
Well, so he did, but this can't be his.
Well? Can it?
I don't know.
But you told me yourself that his money was found.
Then whose money is this?
Well, it's mine now. Ours.
No.
Oh, now be reasonable, Rivka. Shall I throw it away because I don't know who lost it?
It's not ours. I don't know what to say.
Well, you could say that you're pleased to have a new dress. Or does it give you pleasure to wear an old one in torn shoes?
Shimon...
Now, you're entitled to a little good fortune. Even Rivka, the wife of Shimon the porter, is entitled to feel that good things can happen, too. Rivka, I can't sleep.
Neither can I.
I'm sorry I spoke the way I did.
I know, Shimon.
But, Rivka, all those years we didn't question what God sent us. The hard work, the trouble. Why should we question this?
Did God send it?
I've been lying in bed wondering.
Did he, Shimon?
Now, I know that I found this money. I can show you the very spot. But the money that Benjamin returned... I don't understand.
Maybe you don't have to understand everything.
Well, it's strange that there should be two little bundles of money exactly alike.
Maybe it's enough just to do what's right.
But Benjamin has already returned the money to Reb Nachman.
I'm not talking about what Benjamin did.
Well, then why is it wrong to keep it? Why? You don't have to tell me. Rivka, you would have looked so pretty in a blue dress with lace at the collar. Here it is, Reb Nachman. Here's your money.
What are you talking about, Sherman? Haven't you heard that Benjamin returned it yesterday?
I heard 28.5 rubles. Now, will you count it?
Why should I count it? It has nothing to do with me.
Didn't you lose 28.5 rubles?
Yes.
Wrapped in such a handkerchief and tied with 3 knots?
But Benjamin...
Benjamin, you keep talking about Benjamin. Now, take your money and be done with it.
You don't have to be angry about it, Sherman.
I'm sorry, Benjamin. It doesn't come easy to take so much money practically out of my pocket and give it away.
Maybe it's none of my business, but why don't you keep it then?
Oh, no. I couldn't keep it. How could I?
It's easy. Put it in your pocket and go away.
Reb Nachman, I've brought you the money you lost. Now, take it.
What are you talking about? It's not mine. How can I take
it? You see? It's not easy.
I see what you mean. Sherman, do you realize what a remarkable town this is?
It is?
Of course. One sum of money is lost, and two honest men find it.
What kind of a question is that, Reb Nachman?
A simple question, Benjamin. Where did you find the money?
I don't see that it makes a difference where I found it.
Sooner or later, you'll have to answer.
Suppose so. I found it in the street. You don't believe me? All right, I didn't find it in the street. Well, what are you staring at me for? Did I commit a crime? Say something.
Here, Benjamin. Take the money.
Oh. You found me out, Shimon.
It was your own money you gave Reb Nachman. Now take it back.
No, Shimon, I can't take it back.
But you don't understand. I really found Reb Nachman's money, so you don't have to pretend any longer.
Why don't you go away and leave me alone?
First, take what belongs to you.
A man wants to perform a mitzvah, a good deed, and you wouldn't let him.
Benjamin, I'm not an educated man, and maybe I don't know the words to say it. But no one can take away the good you've already done.
There, They're good words, Shimon. Thank you.
But the money is something else now. It's no longer needed.
Don't you see? You have explained it yourself. I already received credit for it in heaven. Now you want me to have the money as well. No, it's out of the question.
Let's come over, everybody. Red Nachman, you must take the money.
I'm sorry, Shimon. I'd like to help you, but I can't.
28.5 rubles and nobody wants it? In this town, everything is a problem.
I don't see that there's a problem.
But, Rabbi, no one wants to take the money.
No, Shimon? Then give it to me.
What?
Huh? You're shocked.
No, of course not, Rabbi. But after all, it's...
Let me tell you a little story.
Oh, not now, Rabbi, please.
Shimon is right, Rabbi. There is a time, but what I mean is that this is not a good occasion for a story.
You're wrong, Benjamin. It's the best time. This is a story about a man who was pious with a fur coat.
What?
Just listen. He was a good and pious man, see? The winter coming, he bought a fur coat to keep him warm.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I didn't say it was wrong. Now, it happened that there was another man who prepared for the cold. He bought firewood.
Well, I'm afraid I don't see the point, Rabbi.
Don't you, Benjamin? The first one was keeping himself warm. But the second thought of how to keep others warm as well. Benjamin, from that time on, we say of someone, he is being pious with a fur coat.
Excuse me, Rabbi. What does it have to do with us?
Shimon, what do you think I want with the money?
Well, I suppose...
I'll tell you. Isaac's daughter is getting married. He can use a few rubles. Chaim is sick in bed. His children are hungry.
Rabbi...
As for you, all three of you... You were so busy storing up good deeds in heaven that you forgot to look around here on earth. You were being pious with a fur coat.
Rabbi, you'll take the money.
Yes, I'll take it. Why are you smiling, Shimon?
Because I feel better already. And because I was thinking.
Yes?
Maybe this is how it was meant to be.
This was Friday, and at sundown, Shimon went home to welcome the Sabbath. He looked at the Sabbath loaf and at the tablecloth, worn thin in two places but sparkling white, and his heart was content. He looked at Rivka, sitting at the table with him, and he knew that she was beautiful, and he said the traditional words from the book of Proverbs.
A woman of valor, who can find? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And he hath no lack of gain.
Thank you, Shimon.
Shimon ate the good soup that Rivka made, and together they sang the songs of King David as the candles sputtered on the table. And I will tell you what I believe. If at that very moment the great Rothschild were to come in, and if he were to say,
Shimon, ask for anything you like. Anything, and you shall have it.
I know what Shimon would answer.
My glass is empty. Be so good as to pour me some wine.
And this is the story the old man told me. The old man who came uninvited.
I'll go the same way. But first, tell me something. The story, I said, was about a Lamed Vovnik, one of the 36 hidden saints.
That's what you said.
Then tell me, which one was the saint?
The rabbi, of course. Well, at least it seems to me that...
What about Benjamin?
Or maybe Shimon? Well, who was the Lamed Vovnik?
Can it be that there are more than 36?
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Joseph Miller of Congregation Shaarei Torah of Flatbush in Brooklyn, New York. Rabbi Miller.
Can it be that there are more than 36? Of course it can be, and it is. There are the thousands unknown, unpraised, unsung, who deny themselves the little they have in order to make life a little bit better for others. It is in this sense that the sages of old insisted that even a poor man who himself lives on charity is in duty bound to perform acts of kindness to others, not as a gesture of charity or goodwill, but as a matter of tzedakah, of doing the right thing by himself and by his fellow man. These poor, to us helpless and forlorn men and women, were not as unhappy and as miserable as we may think. They considered themselves rich and their lives contentful. They would not change even with Rothschild. They would declare, "Who is rich? He who is satisfied with his lot, with his position in life, and does not cast an envious eye upon those who have more." They would not question the wisdom of God. Rather did they insist upon sharing the little they had with the widow, the orphan, and the poverty-stricken. The world of Shimon and Rivka, in which one lived for all and all for one, may no longer exist. But that such a world is desirable, there can be no question. By honesty and sincerity, by acts of goodness and kindness, by love and understanding, mankind can and will emerge from its present chaos and confusion, misery and tragedy. This is the universal message of the High Holy Days just concluded. This is also the message of the Sukkah, in which the Jew is enjoined to dwell during the Festival of Tabernacles, which we are now celebrating. Go out of your palatial home with all its comforts. Forget, if only for a while, the luxuries you enjoy. Enter the Sukkah, the shaky hut, which is so insecure and so uncomfortable, and there rejoice before the Lord your God. There you will learn the meaning of life. There you will learn to understand the less fortunate. There you will learn to serve your God by making life warm and cozy, not only for yourself, but for your fellow man as well. There in the Sukkah, you may perhaps come to the conclusion that you too can become, if you will, one of the 36 saints upon whose merit the entire world rests.
Thank you, Rabbi Miller. Our eternal light drama today, 36, was written by Joseph Mendel. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joe DeSantis as Shimon, Bryna Rayburn as Rivka, Peter Capel as Reb Nachman, Leon Janney as Isaac, Louis Oren as Benjamin, Roger DeCoven as the rabbi, Joseph Boland, and Alexander Skorby as the narrator. The music, written by Morris Momorsky, conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Ed King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.